Yesterday was a very strange day for all of us. I certainly found it strange not being able to minister God's word to you from the pulpit. And I'm sure that you found it strange as well, not being able to come to the church. It was really so peculiar in so many different ways. I, in my lifetime, can't ever remember churches having to close their doors. And it all seemed so strange. But then the Bible tells us, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And so we know today that God is in control. He was in control yesterday and he's still in control today. And he will always be in control. And it was just lovely, even in the midst of all the confused emotions. It was just lovely that the sun was still shining. We had beautiful weather here in New Buildings yesterday, and I hope wherever you're listening in from that it was beautiful weather for you as well. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today and we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength. And Lord, we thank you that we can come to you through Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. And we thank you, Father, that he shed his precious blood for us so that each one of us might be redeemed, so that each one of us might not be afraid, even in a time of trouble like we are in at the present moment. And Father, we just want to praise you today that you are the God who hears our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, that we can call out to you and cry out to you at this time of crisis. And Lord, we just want to pray, O God, for those who are on the front line. We pray for the healthcare workers. We pray, O God, for grocery store employees. We pray for lorry drivers. We pray for all of these dear people who are keeping the country going. And Father, we specifically pray that you will protect them, that you will protect them from this virus. We pray that you will keep them healthy and well. We pray, Lord, that you will preserve them. We pray, O God, that you will watch over them. Thank you, Lord, that the psalmist could say, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. No evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Father, we just pray that you will bless your people who are listening in today. And we pray, Lord, for those who do not know our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, that they may even come to know him and the peace that he alone brings. So, dear Lord, we pray that you will bless your word to our hearts today. And we pray that we may be encouraged through it. Help us now by your Holy Spirit, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I'd like to share a text of scripture with you from Isaiah chapter 41. And it's verse 10 that I want to leave with you today. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a lovely promise that is for us in these uncertain times. And you know, as we think about this text, we could put it another way. Fear thou not on Monday, for I am with thee on Tuesday. Be not dismayed on Wednesday, for I am thy God on Thursday. I will strengthen thee on Friday. Yea, I will help thee on Saturday. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness on Sunday. Thank God for this lovely promise. Seven parts to the promise, a part for every day of the week. God has given us these lovely words to comfort us throughout the days of the week. Well, obviously, today is Monday. And notice the first part of that lovely promise, fear thou not. The Lord is telling us today in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis, not to be afraid. Fear thou not. Well, you might ask, why should we not be afraid? There seems to be so much fear around today. People are gripped by fear. But I want to tell you today that children of God need not be gripped by fear. I'm not saying that we don't get afraid. Of course we do. I have to acknowledge that over the last few days, there have been times when my heart has been full of fear. But I want to tell you, friends, today that as believers, we do not need to be gripped by fear. And God has given us this lovely promise, these three lovely words, fear thou not. This, of course, is a personal promise. That little word, thou, teaches us that it's personal. That little word, of course, comes from the King James Bible, and it's one of the unique pronouns that are found in the Authorized Version, thou. And it's a pronoun that means you personally. The Lord is speaking to you personally today. If you are his child, washed in the Savior's blood, this is a personal promise for you. Fear thou not. Well, why should we not be afraid? What reasons are there that would remove fear from us? Well, first of all, let me say that we have no reason as believers to be afraid because God is still on the throne. There's your first reason, folks. God is still on the throne. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Listen to what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Notice that Isaiah saw the Lord seated on his throne. I want to tell you, friends, that God is still seated on his throne. God is not standing. And it's very important for you to grasp that today. Please don't think that somehow this virus that we are dealing with as a nation today, that somehow this virus has got God off his throne and that God is no longer seated, but he is standing and walking around in panic mode. I want to tell you today that that's not the case. God is not in panic mode. God is not standing today worrying about the coronavirus. No. I want to assure you today that the God who has saved you, the God who rules this universe, is still seated on his throne. That is still his posture today. So friend, don't get into panic mode. Don't be afraid. Fear thou not today because God is still on the throne. You know, Isaiah not only saw the Lord sitting on his throne, but he tells us that he was high and lifted up. God's throne was high and lifted up, and I want to tell you that it's still the same today. God's throne is unassailable. Unassailable. No devil can reach up to that throne and hurl God off that throne. No enemy of God can reach up to that throne and remove God from it. It is high and lifted up. And so I want to encourage you today that God is still on the throne and that he's in control of the virus that we're combating today, and that our medical workers, our healthcare workers are doing their best to combat. And oh, friends, how we need to be praying for them in these days. But I want to tell you that not only are we depending on our wonderful healthcare workers, but we are also depending, and depending above all, on our wonderful God who is sitting on his throne. Isaiah not only saw the Lord sitting on his throne and high and lifted up, but then he said that his train filled the temple. His train filled the temple. The word train there, of course, refers to the robe of the Lord. And in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, of course, it is the Lord Jesus that Isaiah sees. It is the second person of the Trinity, the Savior himself. And Isaiah saw the robe of Christ. And you know, it's wonderful just to think of some of the incidents in the New Testament. And we're told in Mark chapter 5 of a lady who touched the robe of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that virtue went out of that robe. That lady was healed that day because of the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, friends, the word virtue not only means power to heal, but it also refers to righteousness. And that day, as that dear lady touched the hem of the Savior's garment, righteousness flowed to her from him. And I believe that not only was that lady healed that day, but she was saved. Her soul was saved. Righteousness flowed from Christ to her. And I want to tell you today that if you're not saved, righteousness can still flow from the Savior to your sinful soul. That soul of yours today that you feel to be so full of sin, and perhaps you even think that you're too bad to be saved. Well, I want to tell you today that there is a perfect righteousness that is freely offered to you today, and it is the righteousness of Christ. And the Lord Jesus waits today for your cry. He longs to hear your cry. As he sits on his throne of glory, he is listening for your prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you will only pray to him, he will cover your sinful, wretched soul with the robe of his righteousness. So that's the first reason, friends, why today and every day we have no reason to be afraid. Fear thou not, because God is still on his throne. Let me give you another couple of reasons why we should fear not. Fear thou not, because all things work together for good to them that love God. Now notice that it says, all things, even the coronavirus, that's part of the all things. All the things that are happening in the world today, everything that is happening on this day, the 23rd of March 2020, is happening for the good of them that love God. Everything is working together for your good, believer. Yes, fear thou not, because all things work together for good to them that love God. Perhaps I'm speaking to a fearful Christian today. Maybe you're afraid of the virus. In the midst of your fear, please remember this. You are immortal till your work is done. Those words were spoken long ago by the founder of Methodism, John Wesley. And you know, Mr. Wesley got it right. We are immortal till our work is done. All things work together for good to them that love God. So that is the second reason why you, as a child of God, need not fear today. But here's the third and final reason why we as believers do not need to be afraid. Why we do not need to fear the current crisis or any crisis. So what is the third reason? Well, here it is. Because there is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. Maybe I'm speaking to a backslider today, a prodigal, and your life is not what it should be. Yes, you are saved. You have trusted in Christ, but maybe in recent months, even recent years, you have drifted away from the Lord and your life is now full of sin. Well, I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus can cleanse you and wash you afresh and make you whiter than the snow. I want to tell you today that the blood of Jesus can restore to you the joy of God's salvation. You know, as we think of the prodigal son, he was in the far country, wasn't he? And the Bible tells us that he ended up feeding the pigs. He was right down in the gutter, we would say. He was sitting among the pigs, eating their husks. He was really as low as he could get. He was at his lowest ebb. And maybe today, as a backslider, you feel that you're at your lowest ebb. And you feel perhaps that there's no hope. You may even feel today that you have grieved the Holy Spirit and that you've committed the unpardonable sin and that there's no hope for you. Well, I'm glad that you're listening to this message. And it's not by chance that you're listening to this message. The Holy Spirit has you listening to this message. And I'm here today to tell you that there is hope for you, and there is forgiveness for you, and there is cleansing for you today through the blood of Christ. And so that is a reason why you need not fear. Dear backslider today, come back to the Lord. Trust again in his atoning blood. Then perhaps I'm speaking today to someone who is not saved. You're not a believer. You have never been born again. I want to tell you that you do not need to be afraid today if you will trust in the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus can make you whiter than the snow. The blood of Jesus can make you a new creature. The blood of the Lord Jesus can transform your life. The blood of the Lord Jesus can save your soul. And I want to tell you today that you can know what it is not to be afraid. You don't have any reason to be afraid if you trust in his blood. You will not have any reason to be afraid if you trust in his blood. C.H. Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. He was the minister of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. And his favourite hymn was William Cowper's lovely hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood." And Spurgeon's favourite verse from that hymn was verse 4, "Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." See it, Spurgeon. Whenever he was signing his sermons, he used to write that verse on the sermons. And thank God today it's so true that the blood of the Lord Jesus will never lose its power. The hymn writer penned these words, "Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God. Only by his stripes are we healed. Though I've wandered far from the fold, bringing to my heart pain and woe, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow." So there you have it, friends, God's wonderful promise to you today, for this day, Monday. But in fact, this promise is for all the days of our lives, isn't it? What a lovely promise. "Fear thou not."